Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Connolly with you again. Happy to be with you on this nearly the Feast of Michaelmas. That's right. September 29th is the Feast of St. Michael. And have you heard this expression, Michaelmas, before? Yeah, it is traditionally the name given to the Feast of St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, who are the archangels. And so we celebrate them particularly. If you're listening on Saturday, then you know already it is the feast, I hope. So just a time set aside to honor and to revere these messengers of God, these archangels. They've given particularly powerful messages to give and to bring to us. Now, just a little reflection from your local Catholic convert, your convert to the Catholic faith from a Christian upbringing. You know, I always had the idea of the existence of angels. That wasn't in question, especially through some of the things that I would read in the scriptures about, specifically, I knew Gabriel pretty well in terms of his own, the Annunciation and so forth. Wasn't as familiar, I have to admit, with St. Michael, even though he appears in both the Old and New Testaments, nor St. Raphael, because he's in one of those deuterocanonical books. So I didn't see him appearing in my Protestant scriptures. But you know, I got to say that my conversion to Catholicism really brought about a lot more of an awareness of and an attentiveness to these spiritual beings who are with us all the time and with us, watching over us. And we actually have the Feast of the Guardian Angels coming up as well. And in that being the case, you know, we are each assigned, Catholic tradition would hold, we are each assigned an angel to watch over us. And the angels and the archangels, I'm continuing to learn, and this is something that's new and fascinating to me, is that they are amongst the lowest of the nine choirs or the nine ranks of angels. The angels and the archangels are. Above them are all sorts of wonderful spiritual beings, rightly termed and rightly called angels. So there's the seraphim, which the burning ones who are right next to the throne of God there, the closest ones, the cherubim, the fullness of wisdom, who contemplate God, but more in his providence than in his actual person. The thrones, which symbolize juridical power. So those are kind of the top three choirs. Then there's the dominions, there's the virtues, and there's the powers themselves. So again, more ranks of angels. And then finally, the last three are the principalities, the archangels, and then the angels, such as the guardian angels, as it were. And so what's fascinating to me, and I'm still just learning about all these things, right? So don't come down on me too hard. But I do know that these are part of Catholic tradition, but they're not part of Catholic dogma, just so in case anybody's wondering. But St. Thomas Aquinas was fascinated with the life of the angels, the ordering of the angels. And we do see these things referred to in the letters of St. Paul. So they are scripturally based, so we do see these things there. But just to imagine that, you know, we set aside these feasts for St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, and we set aside these feasts for the guardian angels as well, but knowing, hoping that one day, please God, we will be able to partake in direct communication with these ranks and ranks of the heavenly host. And I think it adds something, especially to our experience of the Mass. When we get to that point, when we are just coming up on the Sanctus and we understand that, therefore, let our voices join with theirs, with the choirs of angels, with the ranks and choirs of angels, as they forever surround the throne of God and together acclaim, holy, 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 right? Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. And I think that is something that it should spark our imagination a little bit. I was talking to a child once about guardian angels, and I asked him, "What does your guardian angel look like?" And there was a pause, and you know, and yes, I have never laid eyes on my guardian angel, but I like to imagine some things, and I think we're meant to have a good Catholic imagination. My guardian angel, I think, stands somewhere between 15 and 17 feet tall, first of all, right? So, I mean, he's beyond the ordinary human stature. That's in my imagination. And, you know, it is a comfort to know that he is there. He's watching out over me. And as I pray the St. Michael prayer, I like to follow it up with the guardian angel prayer. Just knowing that these angels doing the will of God, that they are out there too, serving God, but for our benefit, because God is a God of love. God is love, and his love is that which reaches to others. So what's a good way you can celebrate the feast of St. Michael and St. Raphael and St. Gabriel? I think it is doing something for the good of the other, living in God's love, growing closer to him, and living out that love which wills the good of the other as other. That's something you can do on all days, but particularly how do you honor the archangels? By saying a prayer, but also by doing something in love and in faith. That's my little suggestion to you as we're in the weekend of Michaelmas of St. Michael, and as we are beginning our show together here on the Rediscover Hour. Joining me in studio just after the first break, talking about Archdiocesan Youth Day, will be the MC of Archdiocesan Youth Day in 2017 and 2018, Pat Millay, as well as Cindy Aguilar is going to join us, a youth who has benefited from Archdiocesan Youth Day. She's going to talk a little bit about her experience. Joining me over the phone as well, there's going to be Sister Bethany Madonna, who is going to be speaking at Archdiocesan Youth Day as well. Then a little bit later on in the program, Susan Spiegelberg, who's going to be talking about her own living out a consecrated life in the world and what that's all about. So that's what's in front of us here at the Rediscover Hour on this Michaelmas weekend. Let's do, as we always do, pause committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going to our first break, but when we come back, all about Archdiocesan Youth Day. You're not going to want to miss it, so stay with us. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial, competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are talking about Archdiocesan Youth Day, which is different than World Youth Day, but it's kind of World Youth Day in microcosm. So that's what we're going to hear about here at the beginning of the show. Joining me now in studio, Pat Millay, who is the Director of High School Faith Formation and Confirmation at the Church of St. Michael. Hey.
Absolutely.
Michael, yeah.
Big
all right.
Feast Day coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's right. All right. All right. They're in Prior Lake. Right, and also the Archdiocesan Youth Day MC in 2017, 2018, they got you doing that again.
No? Yeah, they talked me into it somehow.
All right, yeah. All right. Yeah, I think we were talking about this about a year ago now that I think about it. Also joining me in the studio is Cindy Aguilar, who is from the Parish of St. Stephen's, right, in Minneapolis?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's great, and you have been to an Archdiocesan Youth Day.
Yeah, I have been to a couple of them a couple of times.
All right, wonderful. We're going to hear from you, too, but welcome to the program, to the both of you. It's great to have you with us. Pat, let's start with you. What is Archdiocesan Youth Day?
It is awesome, is
okay.
What it is.
All
but
right.
You want more details than that,
yeah,
I
probably see. A little bit more.
Yeah, so basically, so Pope John Paul II started World Youth Day gatherings and celebrations, you know, decades ago. So bringing together hundreds of thousands, millions of young people and young adults from all around the world to celebrate their faith, unite with the Holy Father, and kind of bring together the universal church. Within that, the goal was to kind of help dioceses and local areas unite with the Holy Father as well. So we even have a World Youth Day in the church that we celebrate, even if you don't go to Panama in January coming right. up here. Archbishop Neinsteadt began here in the Archdiocese was wanting to have an Archdiocesan Youth Day to accomplish the same goals, but with the bishops here in our local area, but still to bring together a lot of the parishes that may have different charisms, different gifts, different demographics, but are united under the Holy Father ultimately. But also under the bishops here in the Archdiocese. So it's an amazing afternoon, evening. It's full of just incredibly passionate speakers, tons of energy. You know, 2,000 Catholic high schoolers in a room.
Wow.
It never gets boring, right? I mean, it's just so much energy, so much joy. And then, of course, there's just really powerful sacraments. There's confessions throughout the day. Adoration at the end of the evening is probably the highlight for me every year. It's just a really amazing experience.
All right. Would you agree, Cindy? Is it an amazing experience?
Yeah, I loved it from the first time I went. I extremely loved it. And then I just continued to go. It was the best thing like ever. The best, one of the best retreats I probably ever went to.
Wow. Okay. When did you go?
The first time I went was 2 years ago in... Or like 2015, around there.
Okay. All right. And you said you've been to a couple of them?
Yeah, I've been to the one 2 years ago, then last year, and then I'm going to be going to the one this upcoming year.
All right. So when is it? When is Archdiocesan
Youth Day? It's Saturday, October 27th.
Okay.
And it's at Roy Wilkins Auditorium over at the River Center in St. Paul. And it's in the afternoon and evening. So it's from about 1:30 to 9 on that Saturday, the 27th.
Okay, so that's, I guess you need a big venue if you're going to have 2,000 or 8,000.
Absolutely, that's right. Yeah. And it's a big space, but it feels really just intimate with all the things that we're able to do and breakout sessions with men's and women's groups this year, things like that. So it's going to be really, really special.
Right, we're going to be talking with one of the leaders of the women's breakout session here just shortly, and Sister Bethany Madonna is going to join us on the phone. So she'll give us the rundown about that. Cindy, what was your favorite part? Do you remember having favorite parts, or were they all just equally awesome?
Yeah, so as well as Patrick said, my favorite part was actually the adoration. It was like super powerful. I know we were like, my first time going, we were up front in the right corner, and right when the they were walking around with the altar and everything, like I just felt it, like whole energy through my body. People were like screaming, and like it was just the best thing ever, the best feeling I could ever get.
Yeah. Did you have friends that went with you?
Yeah, I had a couple of friends that really influenced me to go, so I gave it a try and I loved it.
Okay, very good. And I think you have a letter there from Adriana, is that right?
Yeah, Adriana Lee Martinez. She also went. She was one of the bigger influences that invited me. She always invites me to go to retreats and everything. And she actually did write a letter about the Archdiocese Youth Day. She said, "Just as Mother Teresa once said, I also cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create my ripples. From very young age, I brought within a Catholic household. We went to Mass every Sunday, catechism classes every Wednesday, and I was never really into my faith until freshman year of high school. And that's when she went to the Archdiocese Youth Day, and she was just talking about how she always tried to find happiness, and society was just lying to her. That's not like she would always just run trying to find happiness. But when she went to the Archdiocese Youth Day, that's where she found her true happiness, was with God.
Wow. Yeah. Pat, now you've worked with youth here for quite some time. You must have seen experiences like this too. There's a lot of opportunity for young people these days to look for meaning in places other than God.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And Cindy put it perfectly. There's so many high schoolers that just get, through no fault of their own, even just get swept up into this culture of pleasure and satisfaction and really just selfishness. You know, the theme for this year is, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. We're going to draw a lot about what the angel Gabriel said to Mary when she, you know, was asked to be the mother of God. There's so many fears that go along with growing up and being a high school or college student these days, because people are just trained to think about myself, right? And anytime that I'm thinking about myself, anything that's a threat to my comfort or perceived success is an immediate fear, right? So a lot of times I'll talk to high schoolers that are afraid of making decisions about college or the future, because what they're really afraid of is making the wrong choice, quote unquote, that will somehow let them have a less than perfect life, right? Instead of inviting God into those decisions in true discernment and just asking him to be with them wherever they go, whatever the college experience is like, wherever it takes them from there. So Archdiocese and Youth Day is just the perfect way to remind young people, but all of us really, to put our trust in God. And when we do that, there's nothing that that we have to be afraid of, right?
Yeah. And there's got to be some power in coming together, all together, to see that, hey, I'm not the only one.
Absolutely. Right? It's huge. And throughout the day, there are opportunities to hear different testimonies, witnesses from other young people about what they have maybe struggled with, questioned in their life, and ways that they've invited Jesus into those moments. Yeah, just being able to be in a room full of people. And honestly, I think it's even more particularly critical for parishes that are maybe a rural parish or a smaller urban parish, parishes that don't have even just the numbers to have a youth group of 80 to 100 kids, something like that. It can be isolating at times going to Mass and not seeing a lot of young people. And it's not that they're not there. It's just there's not very many of them, maybe numbers-wise. So being able to come to Roy Wilkins Auditorium, see 2,000 other high school kids and start thinking to yourself, I'm not crazy. This Jesus is real, and he's affected people's lives just like mine. You know, it's beautiful.
Right. Cindy, would you say that that's true, that it helped out seeing a bunch of other young people together in the room with you?
Yeah, definitely. When just in church, you would always just see older people praying. So when you gather up a whole bunch of youth, it was just like, wow. It was like literally like a concert. Like you get to jump around, you get to sing, you get to pray, you get all of it, and it's great. It's the best.
Okay. Well, I have to say that speaking as more and more every year, one of those old people who's praying, it does a lot of good to look around Mass and see some young people who are there as well. That's really an inspiration to us as well. So I just want you to know that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep coming to Mass, keep praying there too, but go to Archdiocese and Youth Day. Again, Saturday, October
27th.
Yes, okay, from 1:30 p.m. to
9 p.m. roughly.
That's past my bedtime, Pat.
Well, we'll pray for you in adoration while you're sleeping. That's fine.
But I guess that makes sense. When I was a high schooler, it was not my bedtime. It was before my bedtime, right?
Well, I keep thinking back when I was in college. There was a chapel in every dorm, and each dorm had their own Sunday Mass. Our Sunday Mass in our dorm began at 10 o'clock p.m. every Sunday night.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And now I have, you know, 4 kids, and I'm thinking to myself, like, if I'm not in bed for an hour by then, it's a disaster, you know?
That's right. Cindy, I'm not even going to ask you what time your bedtime is. Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to tell me anything. Okay, so maybe just a word of encouragement. Pat, let's start with you. And Cindy, I'm going to ask you, I'm giving you a heads up, but because, you know, Pat's the experienced youth worker here. But maybe just a word to somebody who's thinking about maybe coming to Archdiocese and Youth Day. How would you encourage them? Or maybe what are you using with your own youth? And there's St. Michael's.
Right.
How do you encourage people to come?
I think, so there's different groups of kids, right? I mean, there's high schoolers that if you open the doors to the church, they're waiting already for whatever you're offering, right? So there's something for those kids. I mean, there's always room to take the next step in faith, whatever that is.
Okay.
So it's a great experience for them. But on the other end of the spectrum, there are the young people who just are absolutely resistant to the movements of grace. Maybe they don't believe God exists at all, things like that. There's also a big group in the middle, obviously, of young people that are kind of wishy-washy, in between, a little lukewarm. There's honestly something for everyone. I think a lot of the hesitation about experiences like this is a high schooler looking at, you know, staring at 8 hours of church is
right,
the idea, right? There's a lot of reasons that I believe that Mass isn't boring, but there's even more reasons that a day like this isn't boring. I mean, there's Mass involved, obviously, there's adoration, but like Cindy mentioned, I mean, it's just a room full of like joy and dancing and jokes and fun, incredible music. Sonar is going to be back leading praise and worship,
great,
obviously. I get to travel around doing speaking things sometimes. I'm telling you, there is no better worship band that I've ever been around than Sonar.
Wow.
And it's no joke. I mean, musically, they're amazing. They're starting to write and record their own worship music now, but they're just really faithful men and women too. They're fantastic. So if you're thinking this is going to be some boring church day, I'm telling you, you're mistaken. You should come find out.
Wait, are you going to be telling any of the jokes, Pat?
Well, here's the thing. I told some dad jokes last year, and see, Cindy remembers. They had mixed reviews, so we may, I don't know if I'm going to go down that road or not, right?
I mean, come on, dad jokes are only fun for the dads. I know that. I mean, that's true, right?
That's the whole reason I tell them.
That's right. All right, Cindy, over to you. Same question. Somebody's thinking about coming. Maybe, you know, you can offer that peer voice. If you were going to tell your friends, here's why you should come, what would you tell them?
It's literally just about God is always there. He's always there for you. He's always there with open hands. Whether like you're running to him now or you're running to him later, he's going to be there for you. So like I would recommend literally me, if I did not go to this like 2 years ago, I probably just wouldn't be able to like to be into church still. So I definitely recommend to go find God now, find that love and peace, happiness now, because my life became so much happier when I found God. And it is literally when you just go to this, like the Archdiocese Youth Day, you come home so happy. Like you come home running to your parents, telling them what happened. It was like, it's just a fun day. It's literally like when you go to McDonald's and like, you're a kid and you get Happy Meal. Like it's the best thing ever. Like I don't know what better thing you can have.
Archdiocese and Youth Day. And McDonald's Happy Meals. There you go.
I'm telling you,
can't
get
anything better right there.
I have
there.
Four kids between 7 and 1, and that metaphor is dead on.
That's
man.
Dead
There's
on right
nothing
there,
better
huh?
to okay. a five-year-old than a Happy Meal.
Wonderful. So Cindy Aguilar and Pat Millay talking to us about Archdiocese and Youth Day on October the 27th, 1:30 to 9 p.m. at Roy Wilkins Auditorium. More information is available on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. And you can find out there, you can register there and everything. Is there a cost involved in this whole thing?
There's just a small cost. I think it's $10 per person, something like
what?
That.
All of this for $10?
I know. Yeah, with lunch, too. So
I was going to say, there's
so.
Some. There's got 1:30 to 9, there's got to be some food.
Wrong meal. Yeah, dinner, exactly. That's okay. Right, yeah. So, and young people can connect with their youth minister, their pastor. Parents can ask some of the staff about it. There's all kinds of good info there. And
yeah,
the
that's
parishes
right.
Parishes tend to bring groups.
Yeah, definitely. Specifically, yeah. And I want to go back to one thing just to revisit briefly what you were saying, Pat, about this, particularly maybe for those smaller parishes who don't have the numbers, because, you know, at that age, it is so important to have those meaningful relationships that you've got, and it can help a lot to have numbers. But Archdiocese and Youth Day serves in that capacity too, doesn't it? Just
Absolutely.
To say that, yeah, it's not just the one of you, and it's not just the five of you maybe that may show up to, you know, whatever youth event might be going on in the smaller parishes, but it's 2,000.
Yeah. And again, over and over again in youth ministry, we see that the data always points to, you know, young people that stay Catholic after college, even who continue to practice their faith, that there tends to be a few things in common. One of them is parents that practice their faith. That's always in the top two or three. One of them is connection with another adult who's not mom or dad who practices the faith. So they see another authentic witness of Catholicism. But one of them all the time is some experience of conversion, whatever that is. Oftentimes that takes place at a retreat or a conference or a mission trip, something for them to really separate from the normal daily grind and connect with Jesus resurrected. And Archdiocese and Youth Day is such a powerful version of that.
Yeah. So $10 or a minimum fee anyway. Cindy, is it worth it? I'll give you the last word.
For $10, definitely worth it.
Yeah. So everybody and anybody can come.
Yep, like even if you don't want to come, I'm sure somebody will donate money for you to come.
Hey, there you go. All right, you heard it right here on the Rediscover Hour. All right, as we're talking about Archdiocese and Youth Day, Cindy Aguilar, Pat Millay, thank you so much for joining us and to talk about Archdiocese and Youth Day. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to stay on the same theme. Joining us now on the phone, we have Sister Bethany Madonna, who's going to be leading one of the breakout sessions there for the women there at Archdiocese and Youth Day. Sister, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. Now, you are the Sisters of Life Vocations Director as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Tell us a little bit, before we get into the Archdiocese and Youth Day thing, tell us a little bit about what and who are the Sisters of Life.
Well, the Sisters of Life are a religious community, and we were founded in 1991 to protect and enhance the sacredness of human life. So we live together in community and are consecrated totally to Jesus, living in imitation of his mother. We have the privilege of serving women who find themselves sickness and vulnerable. We have in Manhattan where some of them come in with us through their pregnancy. We help those who are seeking just spiritual renewal in the life of Jesus on retreats to find him and to experience his healing and his power and his love. We walk with men and women suffering because of abortion who feel very far from God and very hurt and unable to come back to him. And it's beautiful to see his mercy just pour out upon him as they return home and are embraced and experience his healing.
Wonderful. Thank you for your yes there. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your service to the Lord and all of that. Some very important and critical ministry going on there. And I'm wondering how that's going to affect and bring into, or how that's going to play into the words that you share, especially with the young women there at Archdiocese and Youth Day here in the Twin Cities, specifically around the theme of do not be afraid. How is your experience with some of the ministry that you've done going to influence the things that you're going to be sharing with the young women there at Archdiocese and Youth Day?
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be with them. I myself had an experience at a youth day such as this that I first realized Jesus' love for me, you know, that it was personal. So being with them, I definitely want to be able to show them how there's nothing to be afraid of in approaching Jesus and how deeply he loves each of them. He loves their hearts. He desires their yes. He's going to give them every grace they need. He wants to protect them and defend them and heal them and really make them understand the gift of being a woman and the gift of the heart of woman, that she has such an incredible contribution to make to the family, to society, to the world. You know, her creativity, her sensitivity, her power to give life and to nurture life and to protect and defend life and to really be a source of inspiration and strength for others. So
wonderful. I'm wondering, Sister, if you can speak a little bit to why this this age, the high school age, is such a critical time for especially young women in their lives of developing faith.
Sure. So if I don't know how loved I am by God, if I've put my value or my worth in externals, which is what the world really encourages you to, you know, so if you're dating someone or if you're attractive or if you have these things or if you have this position of honor, whatever, if my worth, my value, my dignity is in those things that change and pass away and are not stable, then I'm going to feel that insecurity. I'm going to live from that place of insecurity, the fear of worthlessness, the seeking for love and affirmation wherever I can find it, which is where so many find themselves. And so if I can recognize deep down my identity as beloved daughter of a father who is deeply invested in me, who sees me, notices me, wants to know everything, already knows everything, wants to hear it from my lips, my voice that is unique, wants to speak to my heart, wants to guide me and direct me and show me how I was created to love. If I can live from that place of courage and hope and strength and stability, then there's nothing I can't do. There's nothing beyond me. I'll be able to make friendships and reach out to others because I am coming from a place where I'm not reaching and grasping, but I'm able to recognize the gift that I am, and I'm able to extend to others an affirmation of the gift that they are and what's possible for them.
Without a doubt. Now, I'm wondering if specifically you have some ideas as to what are some of the specific challenges that face our young women today when in their high school, maybe early college years, that may be different even from a generation ago.
Sure. I think specifically today, just a lot of pressure to perform. So pressure to look a certain way, to make the grades, to achieve that my worth, my value is all in my doing. So failure is not an option. That is an experience of exhaustion because I'm constantly trying to achieve what I so desperately need. The other aspect is just the element of living in a culture that is very, I guess, pornographic, you know, so just everything is exposed and out there and there's no value to the beauty of the body, the beauty of my sexuality, the beauty of marriage and committed love. And so I think, too, just being able to be grounded in the truth and be able to dream again and hope again and kind of let your dreams come back of what I deserve and what I desire for my life.
Well, I think it's a tremendously important hope that you carry from what you were saying about these young women learning that they have and they can place their entire trust in the foundation of the Father's love for them and that will free them to be able to do anything and everything that he calls them to do. And I know that for some of the young women that you're going to be addressing, the Father may have some designs on them to enter the religious life. Can you reflect a little bit just on your own experience with us about how did the Lord invite you to consider the religious life to be his bride?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think growing up, I always thought I'd be married with a very large family. That was always attractive to me, to the thought of being madly in love with someone who was madly in love with me and having our own litany of saints for children, you know, Peter, James, John, Paul, Thomas, Philip, you know, the dream.
That's nice. Would you have a Linus in there as well? Linus or a Cletus?
Yeah, let's get a prophet in there. Yeah.
Okay, so, all right.
The boys.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, I remember going, living in high school, just the life of seeking and the emptiness that was there, feeling unhappy, feeling unknown and searching. And finally, I was invited on a retreat with a youth group. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to be a youth group person, you know, like having like a whole category of what those people were like. And going, and I just remember that first night in adoration where I was like, wow, I felt Jesus so close. I had never felt him so close. I felt like everybody knew a Jesus that I didn't know. Like, I just couldn't get over their desire for him. And that night in adoration, I felt his desire for me. And it was like, without even speaking words, I felt like so much was communicated to my heart. And it was the first time I opened myself up and I said, Lord, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to be loved by you. And I don't know what that's going to look like. And I felt a response in my heart, even as a senior in high school, to consider being mine. And I was like, all I could think of was the Sister Act and the Sound of Music. And I just,
right.
It was a very terrifying idea. I just was like, what? So, I dated. I discerned marriage. I was very open to the possibility. And it was only later in college that I, felt the Lord say, give me a chance. And I decided to open myself up to the possibility of the Lord fulfilling my desires in a way I didn't expect.
Mm.
And he cast out my fears of a loveless, lonely life and showed me that his love was better than anything I could have ever dreamt of. And then instead of children of flesh and blood, I felt like he was saying, would you be a mother to every child? Would you love in that way? And would you let me love you in that way?
Wow. And so you actually do have a great number of children then, don't you?
It's an incredible experience to feel yourself entrusted to every person and them entrusted to me, you know? So I definitely have that experience of belonging and receiving.
Mm. And I have here, you entered the Sisters of Life in 2007 and final vows in 2015, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so it's been a good 3 years now since the final vows. Anything that has been, has the Lord proven true, I guess, is my question,
and
his promises?
Yeah. At your final vows, you receive a ring as a symbol and a sign of the eternal reality that you've entered into as spouse. So your whole life being a spouse to Jesus now, but also anticipating that forever in heaven of that ultimate fulfillment of being united to him eternally. So I never get tired of looking at my ring. I people, you know, it reminds me of, so I've entered into something eternal now and here, and I experience that. I experience a love that doesn't fail, a love that is faithful to me when I am weak and when I am short and when I'm empty and broken, sinful, you know, that he loves me and lifts me and heals me and gives me what I could never give myself, you know, or what, quite frankly, no one else could have ever filled in my heart. The same thing with children, the fact that I was promised 100-fold, I have experienced the fullness of that and the fulfillment of a promise.
And all of this, at least, it came from one pivotal place, at least for it all, was through a youth event.
Yes, it was that invitation from a friend to come on that she was bold enough to ask me and to have to put up with my my prejudices and my judgment. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh,
some cynicism going on there, maybe.
Yeah, well, just like I don't spend time like that. Like, yeah. That's not attractive to me. What hers is boredom, you know, or I just want to go home. How surprised I was to see so much laughing and fun, and it accessed something in my heart I hadn't even given myself permission to experience. We're made for worship. So being able to have permission to do that and open myself up to a relationship that I really longed for, that I didn't even know I needed, was so powerful. But yeah, it started with an invitation, and then it started just the courage. Put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you have to lose?
Right. Well, our previous guests did a good job of convincing us that it's Archdiocesan Youth Day on October 27th, 1:30 to 9 p.m. at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium. Just knowing that there's that going on, that it's not going to be boring. But one question I asked them, sister, and I'll ask you the same question, is somebody's listening right now, not sure as to whether or not this is something they want to go to. What would you say to encourage them to go?
What was said to me, if you have any place in your heart that is longing, that is desirous, that has a hope that there's more, that there's much more than this, that any of the anxiety or the depression or the loneliness or the boredom that I feel day to day, that there's an answer to that and a filling of what feels like it's wanting in my life, if there's any of that in you, I would say go and receive. Go with an open hands and an open heart and say, fill me up, Jesus. This is your chance, you know, to prove to me your love for me and your presence. God so desires us to give him a chance. And this is it. He is not outdone in generosity. If you give him one Saturday, you will never regret it.
Yeah, St. James himself promises that the Lord draws near to anyone who draws near to him.
Yes, and he's already prompting you. So if you feel any, even slight inkling, that's his invitation. That's his knock at the door.
Wow. And have your life transformed. Maybe for the religious life, maybe not, but nonetheless, it will be transformed and given to our Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Sister Bethany Madonna, who is going to be speaking at upcoming Archdiocesan Youth Day, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover, and God bless everything that you're doing there.
Can't wait to be with you all. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye. So again, just to hit the details one more time, that's Archdiocesan Youth Day here for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, coming up October 27th, 1:30 to 9 p.m. At the Roy Wilkins Auditorium. And I would suggest, as Pat Millay suggested, that you go talk to your youth director, your youth leader, talk to your pastor, see what's going on. If there's a group going from your parish, that's a great way to go, because that way you'll be in with the people that you know, and you'll be able to reflect upon the experience afterward. If, however, you do not, I'm sure there's plenty of information available on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Susan Spiegelberg, who's going to talk about consecrated virginity, living a life in the world as a consecrated virgin. Very interesting. Stay with us.
Secularism is a spiritual disaster because we're built for God, and we know that.
Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, Robert Barron.
All the pleasure, all the money, all the power, all the honor that the world can give you, there's still this restlessness in the heart. It's the restlessness for God. And so the secular ideology that flattens life out and says, no, you can be utterly satisfied by these finite things, is doing deep damage to human beings, especially to young people. Because young people are taking in this ideology through almost every movie, every song, every commercial. And what that does is it breaks the spirit and leads to deep unhappiness, deep alienation. See, and that's the role the church plays in society. If we get marginalized by a secular society that sees secularism as the default position and religion as kind of a nice hobby that some people have, that's doing deep damage to society. Because we're the ones who remind people of this longing of the heart, who remind the world of what satisfies it.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Today I can see. Oh, today I can see. My. For the very first time, I wave goodbye, bye, bye, to what used to weigh me down.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Well, we are now in the presence of Susan Spiegelberg, who has she was consecrated on Friday, June 8th, 2018, at the Cathedral of St. Paul. But she serves as the Director of Faith Formation for Early Childhood and Young Family Ministry at All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville. This is the start of your seventh year there. And you've worked with Net Ministries. Let's see, there's a whole bunch of great things going on here, which we'll get to, I'm sure, in the interview. But Susan, it's a pleasure to meet you and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for the invitation to share about the beauty of this vocation. I'm very honored to be here.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm still catching up. My listeners know that, I'm a 8-year Catholic convert now, so it's only been
Beautiful.
8 years in the church for me.
Beautiful.
So I'm learning a lot. I started out talking about St. Michael and the archangels, and I'm still learning about the angels, but consecrated virginity, but living in the world, mm-hmm. Not as a religious order, but living in the world. What is that all about?
Well, it's a huge gift to not only the consecrated virgin, but to the church. And it's ancient. Most people don't realize that it's the oldest form of consecrated life. So those first virgin martyrs, this is what they were. They were consecrated virgins. The rite we have actually is from the 4th century. We can trace
wow.
it back to the 4th century.
Wow.
Which is that prayer that the archbishop prays over the virgin, we can track to the 4th century, which is so rich. There are actually 7 forms of consecrated life.
Okay.
Most people have no idea this.
You're teaching me. Teach on.
There's a great, I'm a visual person, so there's a website called The Vocation Tree,
okay.
which you can go to and see. There's the branches, the ordained, the married, and the consecrated, and there's the 7 branches. So it includes consecrated virginity, religious life, both contemplative and active,
mm-hmm.
and hermits, and so all the 7 forms. And I actually discerned religious life for a good number of years. I was with the Nashville Dominicans for
oh, yeah.
a short time, and beautiful community, but I felt very called to be in the world. And the bridal aspect, I was just sharing with Susanna, the bridal aspect of this vocation is so profound.
Mm.
It's that it's central to the charism. And whereas a religious community has the other sisters or the other brothers, in a sense, as the medium for going to and from the Lord, the consecrated virgin is directly married. He is her husband. Jesus is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she is his betrothed bride. And there's such a direct bridal spousal relationship. And that was so core to who I am and who Jesus has shown me in my relationship with him has been so bridal since my reversion in my 20s. And so the vocation fits me like a glove.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to get back into that. But you mentioned earlier you discerned
yes.
religious life for
mm-hmm.
a while, but just thought, no, I want to be more in the, even though obviously the Nashville Dominicans, I mean, they're a very active order.
Yep, very. Yeah.
But so tell us a little bit about your own story about how you came to this understanding that the Lord was calling you
mm-hmm.
to this special yet ancient consecration.
Yes. Well, I did. So I served with Net Ministries mm-hmm. here locally in West St. Paul. I'm originally from Honolulu, Hawaii, and most people ask me, why would you come to Minnesota from Hawaii?
Why would you come to Minnesota from Hawaii?
My aunt's always, it's Jesus. He's
okay.
the one. So Net Ministries is what brought me, and I've actually stayed prior to my consecration here for all of our adoration chapels. As you know, we have the most
yeah,
in the country.
Most in the country, that's right.
I've heard second in the world, most in the world.
Really?
We're way up
wow.
there. Thanks be to God.
Mm.
And so in my time with serving with Net Ministries, we talk a lot about our identity as God's daughter and what that means. And so my year of service, I served. And then the year after, I took a year to discern very deliberately. God speaks to me a lot through spiritual reading. So I read, I visited communities, and did not seem at the time that the Lord was calling me. So I thought, okay, marriage is my vocation.
Yeah,
so,
right, okay.
So I would be open to dates that gentlemen would ask me to go on. And I often found myself on those dates thinking I would rather be in the chapel.
Sorry, guys, if any of you are listening right now. But that's not so bad. I mean, how can you compete with the Lord,
right? And they're beautiful, beautiful men of God, and yeah. I wanted to be with Jesus.
Okay.
And so that was clear. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's a pretty clear indication of where the Lord was leading me. But that wasn't as clear for about 6 years.
Wow, 6 years.
And so I thought, okay, marriage and my vocation, but now I see the Lord's hand in all of that because he has shown me the complementarity of sacramental marriage and my vocation. Mm-hmm. And I share so often with couples, especially at the parish, saying, you show me, you put into flesh as a husband and wife, what my marriage with Jesus should look like through your changing of the diapers, through all of the fleshy stuff of your life. And through my vocation, I show you the priority of where your love is directed, that it's always to go to our true spouse, who is God. And so all of that time of discernment of marriage really formed that in me. There was a retreat. I actually was on, I went on a silent retreat, and my director encouraged me to use the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius.
Sure.
So I was with those were kind of the material for my prayer, and it was very clear that the Lord was inviting me to enter consecrated life. And I'm not sure if it's because I'm stubborn or just slow to hear, but that was part of how he wanted me to come to see this ultimate vocation of being his bride. And so I did enter National Dominicans 2010, mm-hmm. and I was in the chapel there in about February of 11, and I was pretty miserable. It was not a good fit for me. Beautiful community, but just for me, it wasn't a good fit. And I remember sitting there, and Jesus, I want to marry you. You're my heart's desire. I want you alone. But I can't live this life. And I didn't know consecrated virginity was even a vocation. I had never heard of it. And I was sitting in the chapel, and it was very simple, but I felt like the Holy Spirit just sent there to something. I don't even remember the words of how he said it, but something to my heart of, you can marry the Lord and be in the world. I want you in the world. I didn't know what that meant. So lo and behold, I go to the internet and do a little search to see what does this mean. And as I mentioned, I'm from Hawaii, born and raised. The website that pops up was a woman, consecrated virgin's blog from Hawaii.
No way.
And
come on.
Lord, you're just so good. So it just spoke to my heart of this, getting my attention of he knows every little movement of our hearts. Yeah. And so discerned out of the community and just needed some time to just be with the Lord. And before I moved in any direction, I went to the Consecrated Virgin, the Association for the Consecrated Virgins of the U.S. have a association, and they have an information conference. It was very helpful to go and learn that they have about once a year. So I encourage any women who are, what is this vocation? That's a very helpful place to go.
Okay.
They have a website. You can look at the dates. And the...
What was it again? The Associated...
Let me get it right. I think it's USACV. So United States Association of Consecrated Virgins.
USACV. Okay.
Yes, yep.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so I went to that and just kind of needed to just hear what this vocation is. Heard about it. Realized, okay, there's a high possibility this is my vocation. But I don't want to rush into anything. It needs to be that particularly be discerned. I visited a few other communities because I'm such a thorough person. I discerned actually being an extern, which is with a cloistered community, but living the cloistered life, but serving as the external care for the community.
Right.
Because I loved the contemplative life that was out in Connecticut. And again, the Lord, every step of the way was pointing for where he ultimately wanted me.
Yeah.
So beautifully.
Yeah. That's what a tremendous story. Okay. So you weren't in St. Paul by this point yet.
I had taken a leave.
Right.
My pastor at my parish was very gracious, gave me time to have leave to go and do about a 6 week, I'm trying to think of remember the name, but aspirancy
oh, yeah.
with this community in Connecticut.
Okay.
And, came back and discerned that
that's not
that was not it either.
Okay. All right. So eventually you come to this point of surrendering.
Yes.
As
yes.
we all
trying
do.
The whole way.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way that it works. Yes, I understand. You were already aware of this being an ancient vocation, there being particular rite that's involved mm-hmm, in consecrating. Mm-hmm. Some people, I mean, we read about consecration on various levels. I mean, we mm-hmm. can consecrate ourselves mm-hmm. to the Blessed Virgin Mary, correct, for instance, yep. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an ecclesial vocation.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Beautiful distinction.
Talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
Thank you for that distinction. So the projection, and I use my hands, and sometimes it's hard to know on a radio.
Right. Sure.
But the projection of the action of the consecration is different. So I'll use the example of consecrated virginity and then a religious sister.
Okay.
So a religious sister would come before God and say, I make these vows to you, Almighty God, of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And the action is more so on her part. She is coming before God, giving this offering to him, and he lovingly accepts this beautiful offering from her.
Mm.
A consecrated virgin comes before God and says, here I am, the whole of me, my virginity and all that I am. And he, through the ecclesial dimension of the bishop, consecrates her. So the projection is more on God's initiative for the consecrated virgin than a religious sister comes before God and makes that offering.
Mm.
So it's very subtle, but it's distinct.
There's a distinction mm-hmm. there, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so let's talk a little bit more then about this. I mean, it sounds bridal. It sounds
very.
You can mm-hmm. see the connection between an earthly marriage, as mm-hmm. it were, there, mm-hmm. too. And you're wearing a ring.
I am.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Yes. I received this ring from His Excellency Archbishop Hebda at my consecration.
Mm-hmm.
The woman receives three insignia of consecration. So a veil, a ring, and the Liturgy of the Hours.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And so my mom actually passed away when I was young, and so we used my mom's ring from my father, along with another ring he had given her. We merged the gold together, used her diamond, and it says, I had it engraved, or made here by a local jeweler. It says, Sponsa Jesu Christi, spouse of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
At the top in the gold is a heart, because I love our Lord's Sacred Heart, and I was consecrated on that day. And so the diamond is placed within the heart, and the diamond being round is a symbol of our true treasure of the Holy Eucharist, which is our greatest gift, which is His Sacred Heart.
Right.
And it's embedded because I want to live in His heart and in the Holy Eucharist. And then the inside says, He is mine and I am His, with an exclamation point, which was very important to me.
I understand that. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, well, unfortunately, we're nearly out of time, but I want to just ask then the rest of your life is lived out
mm-hmm.
as regardless of the call. I mean, you're serving in a parish,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Which I think makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. but this could be somebody who serves very as a volunteer
much.
In a parish, mm-hmm. but works...
Yes.
at a financial corporation
exactly.
or something like that.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, fascinating.
It is. Yeah, it's a life of prayer, service, and penance.
So service, and penance.
However, my beloved spouse leads me to live that out. Always availability to him and fruitfulness for souls. That's our the goal of our spiritual motherhood.
Well, Susan, I for one am very grateful that the Lord has led you from Hawaii to Minnesota to serve here in the Archdiocese and led you to this great... I'm tempted to say unique, and it's unique in many ways, mm-hmm. but not unheard of, not unknown, and very ancient vocation mm-hmm. that you've talked about today. If any young women or perhaps mothers, mm-hmm. grandmothers, granddads, fathers of young women mm-hmm. think maybe my daughter, my granddaughter, or I should go and check out more,
mm-hmm.
where would you steer them? Back to that same website,
I think? That is a great place to start. They do have a great information packet. It's large with ancient writings by the church fathers, documents from our holy fathers, beautiful material to pray through. And ultimately, I always encourage all of us to spend time in His Eucharistic presence because He does speak.
Of course. Yeah. Very good. Susan Spiegelberg, consecrated
thank
virgin
you.
Living in the world. Thank you so much for being here on the Rediscover Hour and explaining your vocation to us.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. All right. We're headed into our final break. And when we come back, many, many ways to give yourself over to the Lord and to follow His call in your life. So stay with us.
Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it marvelous? The God of the universe, He became one of us.
It is beautiful and marvelous that the God of the universe became one of us, isn't it, Paul?
Amen.
Amen. What do we got going on?
Tons of things. Be transformed. Transform the World. Father Rocky, Executive Director of Relevant Radio, endorses the Office of Evangelization's Missionary Discipleship Series. He says every baptized person has an obligation to seek sanctity, and we are all called to be saints. I encourage everyone to consider the Missionary Discipleship Series as a wonderful opportunity to draw closer to the heart of Christ and to be His authentic witness in the world. Series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker in time for prayer, discussion, and Q&A. Speakers include Dr. Michael Naughton, Father Nick Hagen, Molly Shore. For information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting in October at St. Hubert, Chanhassen, and a series for young adults at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota.
Please join the men of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis for the annual men's pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin on Saturday, October 6th. The cost is $20, includes lunch and round-trip transportation. Buses depart from the Archdiocesan Catholic Center at 777 4th Street in St. Paul promptly at 8 a.m. You may leave your car parked for the day, and the bus will arrive back at 8 p.m. For more information, visit CatholicWatchman.com or contact Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
The Transfiguration Women's Emmaus Ministry invites all women to their Women's Day of Reflection Saturday, October 13, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Transfiguration in Oakdale. Author, speaker, and spiritual director Elizabeth Kelly will lead you in a day filled with sisterhood, reflection, prayer, Eucharistic adoration, and confession. Lunch will be included. Cost $50 if you register before September 21st. Register online at transfigurationmn.org.
Grandparents, you are invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne on Tuesday, October 23rd from 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. in Steiner Hall of Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. with a presentation to follow by Father Stephen Hoffman, pastor of St. Peter's Catholic Church in Mendota, who will speak on the power of faith and love. Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or email info@nativity-mn.org.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop Saturday, October 27th, 9 to 5. To register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
And coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, it's our great Catholic Parish segment, as we are at the first Friday of the month. We're going to be featuring Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale, learning about walking with purpose from Regional Area Coordinator Margaret Mona and Parish Administrator Aaron Ethier. We'll also be joined with Father Paul Livingston from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. That's what's coming up next time, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. They're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.